Meditations of a tortoise dozing under a rose tree near a beehive at noon, while a dog scampers about and a cuckoo calls from a distant wood. So far as I can see, there is no one like me. Soliloquy of a tortoise on revisiting the lettuce beds after an interval of 1 hour while supposed to be sleeping in a clump of blue hollyhocks. Oh, one cannot have enough of this delicious stuff. Night thought of a tortoise suffering from insomnia on a lawn. The world is very flat. There's no doubt of that. The horse. I know two things about the horse, and one of them is rather coarse. We are all anglers in the stream of life. It is a long stream to fish and requires a stout courage and wise patience. All the flies that are in the book and all the bait that can be carried in the box are likely to be needed ere the long day is over. But, like the psalmist's river of life, this stream is full of water. And there's plenty of good fishing to be had in it if we will just be honest with ourselves and with one another and not be afraid nor ashamed of confessing to sometimes fishing with a worm. Dear fellowship members, I'm as happy as can be. And everything seems to come my way so wonderful since I received my mustard seed key ring. I have a little business, and people used to pass me by to go to the store next door. Now, before I can get to my business mornings, they are standing at the store waiting, and money is almost raining down in every way. Also, my prosperity harvest plan is growing, so I pay all my tithes in church, pay my bills, and have money left. I give, and it is given to me most wonderfully. Yes, thank you for sending me my mustard good luck seed key ring. Signed, Mr. LBK of North Carolina. Yes, friends. The new way of life in Hyattsville includes Muzak in every apartment. Luxury living goes on around the clock every season in this outstanding new elevator building. A circular entrance driveway and decorator lobby greet your guests. Apartments are twin air-conditioned, have giant-sized bedrooms, walk-in closets, deluxe GE kitchens, foyer entrances, private balconies, and decorator vanity baths. Vacation fun, too, with a swimming pool and play areas. 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments. Yes, call now. The new way of life in Hyattsville includes Muzak in every apartment. Big Daddy. Big Daddy is brand new. Big Daddy eats beards before breakfast. Big Daddy is strong. Big Daddy is fast. Many a man will shave in 2 minutes with Big Daddy. Big Daddy is tender. Big Daddy is smooth. Women like what Big Daddy does. Big Daddy talks. He crackles when he's cutting, hums when he's done. Big Daddy is what other shavers may grow up someday to be. Big Daddy. Big Daddy is the end. An Anglican parson of New Zealand, the very Reverend Dean of Dunedin in New Zealand, has danced a twist in his parish hall and has pronounced it fit and seemly. Dropping into the hall for a few minutes last week, he met Miss Leonie Main, Miss New Zealand of 1961, and he says, "In no time, I was being taught the twist by Miss Main. It is a simple, straightforward, and an attractive dance. After having a first-hand introduction to it, I think I am qualified to say this. Dancing has long been associated with religion. It is recorded in the scriptures that David the King danced before the Lord with all his might. Certain devout sects among the Muslims give particular reverence to their whirling dervishes. Now that the twist has been sanctified by the Dean of Dunedin, under the beneficent instruction of Miss New Zealand, we can all take our courage in our hands and do a few virtuous turns. Our souls are safe. We need worry now only, perhaps, about social approbation." And now a note from Cairo, United Arab Republic. The twist, the Western world's answer to the Egyptian belly dance, has been banned in dance halls in this country. The Egyptian National Guidance Ministry yesterday ordered vice squads to enforce the twist ban. Dear fellowship friends, I'm so just full, I just can't express myself. My mustard seed key ring has done wonders, has done everything you said it would do, and I want to thank God and you all for all your prayers. People come to my house and give me money now, and I thank God for it. Lily B. of Greensville, South Carolina. We are all anglers in the stream of life. It is a long stream to fish and requires a stout courage and a wise patience. All the flies that are in the book and all the bait that can be carried in the box are likely to be needed ere the long day is over. But like the psalmist's river of life, this stream is full of water, and there's plenty of good fishing to be had in it, if we will just be honest with ourselves and with one another, and not be afraid nor ashamed of confessing to sometimes fishing with worms. Hello. Woo-hoo. Ha-ha. Woo-hoo. You know, sometimes you just don't know where to start. Well, this is just the same problem. Of course, sometimes you don't know where to end. And that's even the more difficult problem, I'm telling you. It's more difficult to know when to end than it is to know where to start. Because often a guy can get a good start and wind up standing on one foot and just scratching, wondering how he's going to end the whole thing, the whole shebang, the whole... I wonder how many guys are married to people they just don't know how to finish it off with. You know? And how many chicks are married to guys they wonder how it ever happened and how they can ever get out of it and whether or not it's ever going to work out, and knowing full well that it ain't going to work out. And so they wind up on their 50th wedding anniversary sitting there for the Daily News photographer and just gumming away at, and just clicking their plates and once in a while looking over to one another and saying, "Well, Ma, I guess 50 years is a long time, ain't it?" And she says, "Yes, yes, 50 years is a long time. Will you please put the bottle down, Ma, while the photographer's here?" "Yes, yes, a long time. It's a long time. Long time."
Ben Casey, hard-hitting, young, dramatic, Anglo-Saxon, self-sacrificing surgeon, standing by here in emergency.
His stream is full of water, and there's plenty of good fishing to be had in it, if we'll just be honest with ourselves, with one another, and not be afraid nor ashamed of confessing to sometimes fishing with a worm.
And so ends another dramatic episode in the life of Ben Casey, hard-hitting young Anglo-Saxon, self-sacrificing surgeon in emergency, Ben Casey. The human race has been warned. A machine practically told a man to dry up yesterday. This is a news note from London. Big Ben calling. London, yeah. This frightening preview of the shape of things to come took place at the International Exhibition here of Instruments, Electronics, and Automation. Some humans were cheerfully chattering, as humans do, in front of the stand of the electrical remote control company when someone discovered that something was listening to the conversation, disapprovingly. This something turned out to be an electronic timer designed to make sure that speakers at public meetings and political conventions, or any other speakers for that matter, do not talk too much. Humans, it seems, have human failings. They're apt to let another human go on to make his point or coin a deathless phrase or two if he has the floor. This is an untidy way of doing things in the world of machines. So the electronic timer is intended to take over the job of supervising the speaker. When his allotted time is up, it flashes a red light. If the speaker keeps on going, as one did today, there's an urgent, angry buzzing, which is clearly electronic age jargon for shut up. If the speaker defies the machine and still insists on talking, the machine has the last word. It just shuts off the microphone. This electronic timer is one of a vast number of wonderful new devices shown at the opening of the biggest technical exhibition ever staged. There was $336 million worth of equipment on display, most of it intended to replace the muscles and, in many cases, the brains of the humans who made them. One firm showed a computer system that controls every operation of a British steelworks from the arrival of the customer's order to the delivery of the product. Another apparatus tastes beer to make certain it is being brewed at the right specific gravity. Whatever happened to the brewmaster's palate amid all the automation? What is going on with 70-year-old J. Albert Martin? My firm makes high-speed machinery. 70-year-old Martin chuckled. But these machines need special springs, and they've got to be made by hand, just as we've been doing it for 55 years. So perhaps there might be hope. What? Shut up. Shut up, all of you. Shut up. Speaking of senseless machines, this is WOR AM and FM, New York. All together now. All together. All together. It's Friday night, by George. We've made it again, haven't we? Let's go. All together now, up on the tables, all of you. All together, we're going to sing. My God, we made it. It's Friday. And now for our next number. Standing there on the middle platform, ready to entertain us with that wonderful, superb verve and vitality which has been his hallmark in show business since the very first day he was carried out on stage at the age of 3 months. We now hear Laurence Olivier, Sir Laurence Olivier, reading from the works of the American poet Nicholas Kinney.
I'm glad to see all you folks out there. I'm glad to see that there's so many moms and pops in the audience tonight and so many wonderful kiddies out there. Hiya, kiddies out there. I'm glad to see that there are several grannies in the audience. Hello, Granny. What? Come on, Granny. Let's hear you click them plates so we can all hear you all over the hall. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it, folks? Yeah, well, the first thing I'd like to tell you here, folks, is that it takes a heap of sitting to make a house a home. And it takes a heap of good, honest, wonderful, just sitting and scruffing to make a sofa a real sofa. So you remember that. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like a good friendly handshake in the morning. And there's nothing like a great big smile all through the day to make life just worth living. And then before you go to sleep, before you close your eyes, and before you rest just a moment to pray, I want you to say to yourself, I love all my neighbors, and all my neighbors love me, because that's the way all your neighbors are going to love you, and it's wonderful to own a dog and see a little barefoot boy with cheek of tan go trudging on down Broadway in the general direction of the Harlem River to do some nice, wonderful sunfish fishing. Yeah, it takes a heap of sitting to make a house a home. Thank you very much, and I just hope you enjoyed all of our wonderful readings this afternoon. So long, Mama and Papa. So long, Daddy. And so long, all the kids out there. It's just been good to see you. Well, my name is Larry. You just call me Larry Olivier. So long. So long, each and every one of you. So long, every one of you. Yes, sir, we've just been privileged to present to you another one of the world's great artists reading from the works of one of the world's great poets, Sir Laurence Olivier and Sir Nicholas Kenny. The third program will return tomorrow at the same time with more works from the mind of man. All together now. Oh, blow that thing.
Mr. Smith, I really cannot tell you, Dr. Jones. I really, really cannot tell you, Dr. Jones, the most peculiar pain I'm in. I think it's in my bones. Said Dr. Jones, oh, Mr. Smith, that's nothing. Without a doubt, we have a simple cure for that. It is to take them out. He laid forthwith poor Mr. Smith close clamped upon the table and cold as stone took out his bone as fast as he was able. And Smith said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, and wished him a good day, and with his parcel neath his arm, he slowly moved away. No, 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 no.
walking out with all them old cotton fields. I'm a-wondering where the old colonel went tonight. Oh, them golden slippers, them golden slippers, I was going to wear on the golden street. Oh, them golden slippers, oh, them golden slippers. Oh, silver threads among the gray. Oh, the gala. Yeah, let's go on down to see old Manny run tonight. Boss, you're going to get the pizzas a-going. Boss, I wonder what she's going to say, little old Missy Ellie. But she finds out that we're just going to have to do away with this colt. And she had her heart so sot on winning a derby day, Colonel. Oh, da-da-da-da. I thank you. I want to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart. As I realize that each one of you coming out here tonight to sit here in this heat, each one of you coming out here tonight to listen to the word, each one of you has sacrificed. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my humble heart. And I want to tell you this, that I look out over those wonderful, bright, and shining faces, and I realize that we got the devil on the run. I know deep down within my heart that we got the devil on the run, and I want you all to stand up, and I want you to say that. I want you to look out over that. I want you to look out over that. Over that long, long trail that's a-winding ahead of you, that trail of life, and I want you to say, yes, sirree, we got him on the run. All together now.
Matilda Maud Mackenzie, frankly, didn't have any chin. Her hands were rough, her feet she invariably turned in. Her general form was German, by which I mean that her waist could not determine within a foot or two, understand? And not only did she stammer, but she used the kind of grammar that's called for the sake of euphony, askew. From now, what I say about her, don't imagine I desire a prejudice against this worthy creature to inspire. She was willing, she was active, she was sober, she was kind, but she never looked attractive, and she hadn't any mind. I knew her more than slightly, and treated her politely when I met her, but of course I wasn't blind. Matilda Maud Mackenzie had a habit. It was droll. She spent her morning seated on a rock or knoll and threw with much composure a smallish rubber ball at an inoffensive osier by a little waterfall. But Matilda's way of throwing was like other people's mowing, and she never hit the willow tree at all. Just bounced. One day, as Miss Matilda Mackenzie, with uncommon ardor, tried to hit the mark, the missile flew exceptionally wide and before her eyes, astounded, on a fallen maple's trunk, ricocheted and rebounded into the rivulet and sunk. Matilda, greatly frightened in her grammar, unenlightened, remarked, "Well, now I asked you, heard her thunk." But what a marvel followed. From the pool at once there arose a frog, a sphere of rubber, balanced deftly on his nose. He beheld her fright and frenzy and her panic to dispel on his knee by Miss Mackenzie. He obsequiously fell. With quite as much decorum as a speaker in a forum, he started in his history to tell. "Fair maid," he said, I beg, do not hesitate or wince. If you'll promise that you'll wed me, I'll at once become a prince. For a fairy, old and vicious, an enchantment round me spun." Then he looked up, unsuspicious, and he saw that he had won. And in terms of sad reproach, he made some comments sotto voce, which the publishers have bidden me to shun. Matilda Maud Mackenzie said, as if she meant to scold. I never. Why, you forward thing, now ain't you awful bold? Just a glance, he paused to give her. And his head was seen to clutch. Then he darted to the river and he dived to beat the Dutch. While the wrathful maiden panted, I don't think he was enchanted. And he really didn't look it over much. The moral, in one's language, one conservative should be, speech is silver, and it never, never should be free. All together. The night was thick and hazy when the Piccadilly Daisy carried down the crew and captain in the sea. And I think the water drowned them, for they never, never found them. And I know they didn't come ashore with me. Oh, 'twas very sad and lonely when I found myself the only population on this cultivated shore. But I've made a little tavern in a rocky little cavern, and I sit and watch for people at the door. I spent no time in looking for a girl to do my cooking, for I'm quite a clever hand at making stews. But I had that fellow Friday just to keep the tavern tidy and to put a Sunday polish on my shoes. Ha-ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta-ta. All together now, let's all sing together. You know the lyrics, just follow the bouncing ball. And I want you to say to your neighbor sitting next to you, howdy neighbor. And I want you to stick out that good right hand of yours, and I want you to say to that neighbor sitting there next to you, here, put her here, neighbor, shake. Now I want you to say, howdy neighbor. There, now doesn't that feel good? And now I want you to turn to your left, and I want you to do the same thing. I want you to put out your hand, and I want you to say to the man on your left, or the woman on your left, howdy neighbor. And I want her to say, howdy neighbor, right back. And I want you to shake hands, a good, solid, honest, neighborly handshake. And now all together. Now let's all eyes front, neighbors. And let's all sing. Let's all sing them old, a wonderful show business tune that we all remember. Oh, there's no business like the show business. Nola. Ra-ta-ta-ta. Ra-ta-ta-ta. Yes, sir. That's my baby. No, sir, don't mean maybe. Me and my shadow. Just my shadow and I, walking along the old road of life. Just me, my shadow and I, we three, and nothing but a memory, all together. What's the matter? Oh, they're gone. They have gone. Oh, no, 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 I didn't, I, no, no. Oh, yeah, all the live long day. Oh, I've been working on the railroad. Oh, just to pass the time away. Yeah, in the morning, up so early in the morning. Oh, yes, sir, I've been working on the railroad. Just to pass the time of day. All together. Pass the time away. Ah, so early in the morning. Ba 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 ba. Oh, I've been working on the railroad. All the live long day. Ba 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 ba. You are my sunshine, my pretty sunshine. Please don't go away and make me blue. Oh, my sunshine, my pretty sunshine. Moon and worry over you. You are my sunshine, my little sunshine. Please don't go away and make me sad. All together. Oh, them golden slippers. Oh, cut it out. What are we doing here? You know, I have a terrible fear. I keep waking up. You know, it's terrible. I'll tell you, Ed. I have a recurring dream. And it's an awful dream. You know, everybody has one recurring dream, and I have this dream. And you know what it is? It's this dream that Tom O'Neill, one night, I see O'Neill in his bed, see, and he's in this golden bed. And he, you know, he's waking up, and he says to his wife, he says, you know, I think I'm going to turn on WR and hear what's on tonight. It ends right there. I don't know what happens after that, see. But I have this terrible suspicion. I'll tell you, though. I mean, you know, it's 6 and 1, half a dozen of the other. Just like my mother used to say. In fact, who was it? I'll award the brass figlegee with bronze oak leaf palm if you can tell me who used to say you got to take the bitter with the butter. Who was it who used to say that? You know, I met the guy who wrote that line the other day. He's an old friend of mine now, and I'm proud and pleased to say that he is. And I met him in the elevator over at NBC the other day. And we're going up between floors, you see, and there's a whole crowd of people, and he doesn't see me there. And I did it deliberately. I was talking to another guy, see, and I saw this guy standing way in the back, quietly standing there. The guy who had written that line many years ago. And I'm with another guy, see, we're up near the front of the elevator. And all of a sudden I said, well, Fred, in a loud voice, you know how elevator voices carry. I said, well, Fred, what I always say is you got to take the bitter with the butter. I just let it hang out there. And I heard this, I heard this guy in the back cough. By George. You know, I don't know. Really, it is Friday, you know? And the fantastic excitement that you feel when a weekend is coming up. I mean, it's when I say fantastic, I'm using the word, I hope, in its correct sense. It's kind of an excitement that stems from a fantasy. You know what I mean by fantasy? Listen, if I have enough time, there's one thing I want to read here, because there's been all kinds of people been... Now, wait a minute. What are they doing out there? Sounds like we've gone on the coal mine business here. Crying out loud. Wait, I'm just hold on there. I've got a thing I want to read. Do you have the cheap guitar music up there, Eddie? Got the cheap guitar music there. I think we have just enough time to do it. We've had hundreds of requests. I mean, they're going to pound, I'll pound. I'll do it with 50 kilowatts here. I know. And I can just see. Yeah, Studio 8, they're chopping down Studio 8, huh? Well, well, I don't blame them. Isn't that Al McCann's old studio? Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. We just finally got the very last vestige of Mr. Anthony out of the studio just the other day. We just finally chased it out from under the linoleum here. Please don't touch the microphone, sir. Do not break down on the air. Now, I'm going to tell you this, sir. I want you to look inside of your heart. I want you to ask yourself, have I been fair to her? Have I really extended myself? Now, please do not touch the microphone, sir. Do not break down in the studio while we're on the air. Please get up off your knees, please, sir. Now, I want you to go home, and I want you to look into your heart. This is the advice I give you tonight. It's difficult advice, sir. Look into your heart and say to yourself, have I really loved her? Have I really done the right thing by her? Next case, please. Please do not touch the microphone. Just the place for a snark, the bellman cried as he landed his crew with care. Just the place for a snark. I have said it twice. That alone should encourage the crew. Just the place for a snark. I have said it thrice. What I tell you three times is true. The crew was complete. It included a boots, a maker of bonnets and hoods, a barrister brought to arrange their disputes, and a broker to value their goods. a billiard marker whose skill was immense. Might perhaps have won more than his share, but a banker engaged at enormous expense had the whole of their cash in his care. There was also a beaver that paced on the deck or would sit making lace in the bow and had often, the bellman said, saved them from wreck. Though none of the sailors knew how. There was one who was famed for the number of things he forgot when he entered the ship. His umbrella, his watch, all his jewels and rings, and the clothes he had bought for the trip. He had 42 boxes all carefully packed, with his name painted clearly on each. But since he omitted to mention the fact, they were all left behind on the beach. The loss of his clothes hardly mattered, because he had 7 hats on when he came, with 3 pairs of boots. But the worst of it was, he had wholly forgotten his name. He would answer to, "Hi," or to any loud cry, such as, "Fry me," or "Fritter my wig," to "What you may call him," or "What was his name?" But especially thingamajig. While for those who preferred a more forcible word, he had different names from these. His intimate friends called him Candle Ends, and his enemies, Toasted Cheese. His form is ungainly, his intellect small, so the bellman would often remark, but his courage is perfect. And that, after all, is the thing one needs, with a snark. The bellman himself, they all praised to the skies. Such a carriage, such ease and such grace, such solemnity, too. One could see he was wise the moment one looked in his face. He had bought a large map representing the sea without the least vestige of land, and the crew were much pleased when they found it to be a map they could all understand. What's the good of Mercator's North Poles and Equators, tropics, zones, and meridian lines? So the bellman would cry, and the crew would reply, "They are merely conventional signs. Other maps are such shapes, with their islands and capes, but we've got our captain to thank." So the crew would protest that he's bought us the best, a perfect and absolute blank. This was charming, no doubt. But they shortly found out that the captain they trusted so well had only one notion for crossing the ocean, and that was to tingle the bell. He was thoughtful and grave, but the orders he gave were enough to bewilder a crew. When he cried, "Steer to starboard, but keep her head larboard," what on earth was a helmsman to do? Then the bowsprit got mixed with the rudder sometimes, a thing, as the bellman remarked, that frequently happens in tropical climes, when a vessel is, so to speak, snarked. But the principal failing occurred in the sailing, and the bellman, perplexed and distressed, said he had hoped at least when the wind blew due east that the ship would not travel due west. But the danger had passed. They had landed at last with their boxes, their portmanteaus, and bags. Yet, at first sight, the crew were not pleased with the view, which consisted of chasms and crags. The bellman perceived that their spirits were low and repeated in musical tone some jokes he had kept for a season of woe. But the crew would do nothing but groan. "We have sailed many months. We have sailed many weeks. 4 weeks to the month you may mark, but never as yet, 'tis your captain who speaks, have we caught the least glimpse of a snark. We have sailed many weeks, we have sailed many days, 7 days to the week I allow, but a snark, on the which we might lovingly gaze, we have never beheld till now. Come, listen, my men, while I tell you again the 5 unmistakable marks by which you may know, wheresoever you go, the warranted genuine snarks. Let us take them in order. The first is the taste, which is meager and hollow but crisp, like a coat that is rather too tight in the waist, with a flavor of will-o'-the-wisp. It's a habit of getting up late, you'll agree, that it carries too far when I say that it frequently breakfasts at 5 o'clock tea and dines on the following day. The third is its slowness in taking a jest should you happen to venture on one. It will sigh like a thing that is deeply distressed, and it always looks grave at a pun. The fourth is its fondness for bathing machines, which it constantly carries about and believes that they add to the beauty of scenes, a sentiment open to doubt. The fifth is ambition. It will be right to describe each particular batch, distinguishing those that have feathers and bite from those that have whiskers and scratch. For although common, snarks do no manner of harm, yet I feel it my duty to say, some are boojums. The bellman broke off in alarm, for the baker had fainted away. They roused him with muffins, they roused him with ice, they roused him with mustard.
Hold together now! I see all you gathered here tonight. You gathered here tonight with the good, honest light of repentance showing in your faces. And I want to say that I thank you for coming. I want to say that you should thank yourself for coming. And I want you to reach out and take your neighbor's hand now. And I want you to shake it good and hard. And I want you to say, howdy, neighbor. Howdy, neighbor. Thank God it's Friday, neighbor. We've made it again.
Here's a bulletin, Justin, from the WOR Newsroom.